You're like, that's a silly question. If you answer this, you got it right. You open up the refrigerator, you put in the giraffe, and you close the door. That's how easy it is. Is that pretty easy, Brother Montgomery? Yeah. Pretty easy, huh? You might think to yourself, like, man, that was kind of a dumb question to ask. Well, I'll ask you the second question, see how smart you are. How do you put an elephant into a refrigerator? We were like, I think I got this one right. No. If you said you open the refrigerator and you put the elephant in and close the door, you got it wrong. The correct answer is you open the refrigerator, take the giraffe out, put the elephant in, and you shut the door. Right? Well, this is the third question. The Lion King is hosting an animal conference. All the animals attend except one. Which animal doesn't attend? You're like, I don't know. Wait, what? She got that right. Ding, ding, ding. Correct answer. The elephant, because the elephant is in the refrigerator. All right? And here's number four. If you didn't get any of that right or not, I'll give you another chance to get it right on the last and final question to see how smart you are. There is a river you must cross, but it is inhabited by crocodiles. How do you cross over it? Here it is. You just swim over the river because all the crocodiles are attending the animal conference. And you're thinking to yourself, why do I ask these questions? Your memory, what you remember, you forget so fast. So fast. You forget about the last question I just asked and what happened.
What is it?
What is it? You forgot already? All right. Forgot my name too. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And stick with me today, and we'll learn some things. 2 Peter chapter 12, verse 1. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Sorry about that. See, I forget. Wherefore, see, I told you I forget. Isn't that great? How I can forget so fast of what I'm supposed to be preaching on? Wow, because it doesn't say whosoever, it says wherefore. We forget Bible verses really quick, don't we? Wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Before we move on to the next verse, I'm going to give you a couple points here. Peter is talking about to like-minded Christians here. Christians who believe in the things that you and I believe. And he's saying to them, I'm going to remind you, even though you already know. I'm going to remind you, just like Peter is trying to speak right now to like-minded Christians in the church. Sometimes you listen to a sermon. You come to church. You read a good Christian book. And you say to yourself, you say, come on, I know that. Get it on. Hurry up. I already know these things that you're about to say. So Peter comes out and he says, hey, why do we switch our spirituality off when we're getting ready to hear something, what God's going to do in your life? And Peter says, this is important to be reminded. Because he says here that the truth that he's talking about is not nothing new. The preachers that come up here and preach to you every night, Thursday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, it's nothing new. It's the same old, good old King James Bible that's being preached on. It's nothing new. But some of us, this is what we say, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to be reminded. So guess what happens in the next verse? The Bible says here in verse number 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Ezra chapter 1, we're going to go into Ezra chapter 1, and we're going to talk to you about this right here in Ezra chapter 1. We're going to talk about how much God wants to stir us up about the area of remembering things. Now, in Ezra chapter 1, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia," before we go on, who is this king? This king is a pagan king. What's a pagan king, you might ask? A pagan king doesn't believe in the things that you and I believe in. We don't believe in the same God. We don't believe in God, Jehovah God. This pagan, he believes in multiple gods. He doesn't believe in the same thing as you and I. So Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the words of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia. God is stirring up, not believers, not his people. He's stirring up a pagan king, because there are people that we're about to read that didn't want to do anything. It says that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and put it also in writing. He put it all over the place. Cyrus the king puts this: "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven, our God, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you of all his people?" That's a question. Who is there among you of all his people? The pagan king. Where are you? Where are you at? "His God be with him, and let him go into Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." Verse number 4, "And whosoever remaineth in the place where he sojourneth, let the man of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up in the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin." Somebody who started rising up after God had to stir up a pagan king. "And the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God has raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem." I want you to know something. Something had to happen. Because we're going to talk about it here in a bit, and we have some time. But something had to happen here. God was tired of talking to believers. He said, "I'm just going to go talk to somebody else who don't believe in me." So tonight, do we need to be stirred up tonight? Does somebody need to come up here and stir us up to go do something in the bus ministry? Does somebody need to come up here and stir us up tonight? Or is God that has to stir us? And we're going to talk about that, and we don't want to get to where how God stirs us up. I'm going to share with you a timeline, and you got it in your hands, and if you can share that. This timeline, I'm going to be fast about it. But this timeline is reaching them and teaching them, our theme, but through the bus ministry. It all started with a guy named Jack Hiles. He was the son of a drunk. And Jack Hiles decided on starting in 1972 a ministry called Hiles Anderson College in Hammond, Indiana. And that college was there to train young men and women for the ministry. And that is the birthplace of the bus ministry. It is known as the world's largest Sunday school. And just about 3 years later, an evil person came named Pol Pot. And he was the founder of the Killing Fields. He killed over 2 million people in Cambodia between the year of 1975 and 1978. Due to the Killing Fields, the Cambodian people immigrated to America and other places. And in 1978, Pastor Joseph Esposito, amen, his father was murdered at a young age. But he got saved. And he went off to Bible college in 1978. At Hiles Anderson College. And he became a bus captain and division leader in Chicago. And that is where he developed a heart for the Cambodian people. And he came to Long Beach to start a church in 1988 called the Cambodian Baptist Church. And that is where me I was reached through the bus ministry at Cambodian Baptist Church, which is now Pacific Baptist Church here. At the same time, in 1978, my pastor for 7.5 years, Pastor Tim Rules, my wife's pastor, his mother was murdered by his stepdad. Went through 7 different divorces from his mom to his dad. And he got saved and he started attending Howells Anderson College. While attending Howells Anderson College, he had a business making over $300,000 a month. And God called him into the ministry to Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Chico, California. And as my wife's pastor, since she was there, my wife and my dad and my mom, there in 1979, same thing. They escaped. They escaped the killing fields and came here to America. They were sponsored to come in 1984. We lived in Des Moines, Iowa, and soon later, 1988, we moved here to Long Beach. But me, in 1984, I was born in Des Moines. And then I started riding the bus at the age of 3. In 1986, my wife was born, amen. And praise the Lord for that. And she was separated, or her parents were separated when she was 2 years old. But she attended Pleasant Valley Baptist Church. And she learned some things there and went to the Christian school and went off to Bible college. And then she met this handsome guy right here. And we now have 4 beautiful kids, and we're serving in the ministry together. Amen. But in 1987, Pastor Dave Board, you all know him, he was my bus captain at the age of 3 there in Iowa. And he had a heart for the Cambodian people, and he came down here to Long Beach the same time we came down in 1989. And he served there with Pastor Myers and Pastor Esposito at the Cambodian Baptist Church. He found out where I was. He found out my family was here in Long Beach. And he reached out to us and got us back into church. I remember the time him grabbing me from under the bed and saying, "You're going to come to church today." But now he's serving in Cambodia as a missionary and church planner. But there's so many faithful people since 1988, since the church has started. So many bus captains and bus workers and bus drivers and car drivers, Sunday school teachers, Christian school teachers, coaches, pastors, youth pastors, godly friends, and many more has influenced, they influence my life throughout those years. And I'm here today to tell you that I am blessed. My point on point number one is this, is tonight I can tell you that with this timeline, my blessings were filled. God blessed me. God showed me his goodness. God allowed me to get saved. You see here at the bottom here, it says in 2019, after I got saved at the age of 11, I went to the Christian school here, went out to Bible college, met my wife. Great things happened. Remembering those things. Bad things had to happen here. Over 2 million people had to die. A drunkard dad caused somebody to go start a church to reach the inner city. And a pastor had to go through the trials that he had as a young child and getting saved and leaving and going what he's supposed to do is start a bus ministry and learn to love the Cambodian people and come back to Long Beach and do what he was supposed to do. And then also my pastor for 7.5 years had to give up a $300,000 a year job to go be a pastor to reach my wife. These things had to happen. People have to make some sacrifices. And I'm so grateful that I was blessed. Yep. But you look, the blessing doesn't stop. Because at number 2, my blessings, they were forgotten. I forgot. For 10 years as a layman, as I served just as a layman, just singing in a choir, maybe helping the usher, sweeping the parking lot. I forgot there's so many ministries out there like the bus ministry. I forgot to wake up on Saturday to go soul winning because other things got more important in my life. A job. I got to make money. I got to feed my family. I got to live the American dream because these 2 million people that died over there in Cambodia, that's the reason why I'm here, is so I can live a life, the American dream life. That Pastor Esposito had to go and sacrifice and learn how to start a church and love the Cambodian people, but yet I went and forgot that I'm supposed to wake up on Saturday to go soul winning. That I forgot to go witness to young boys and girls and see them saved. I forgot. Have you forgotten? Have we forgotten our history? As a result, as we forgot, guess what happened? We don't fully understand the present time of today. We forgot our story. We forgot what happened to us, so we forgot who we are, and we forgot why we're here. We have to remember our story. We have to remember where we came from. We have to remember those trials that happened in our life. Because too often we miss out on what? On the message. The message of why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us. The message of why all these sacrifices that happened in the timeline. You can make your own timeline and see the blessing that God has put in your life. The thing is about it is this, far too often we miss the message. But we have to remember. In order to remember things and to be reminded of things in our life, that what God has done for us, it requires a deliberate attention. You have to actually sit down and make a timeline and say, look what God has done for me. Look at the family that I have. Look at the house that I have. Look at the ministry. Look at what God has given me. We have to remember deliberately so that we don't forget about what God has done for us. Because see, forgetting, it doesn't take any special effort. It just happens. We don't just say, hey, I'm going to forget about what God has done for us. We just happen to forget. We just happen to forget. We need to remember, if we do not attend to God's word and works, we lose our delight in them. Yeah. We start getting bored of what God has done in our life. We lose our way. We lose our perspective. We forget who we are and why we are here. An elderly couple went to a doctor because they started forgetting about some little things. So the doctor told them that many people find it useful to write them down so you don't forget. When they got home, the wife says, dear, would you please go to the kitchen and get me a dish of ice cream? And maybe write that down so you don't forget. The husband says, nonsense. I can remember the dish of ice cream. Well, says the wife, also, won't you add in some strawberries and some whipped cream? He goes, my memory's not all that bad, says the husband. No problem. A dish of ice cream, strawberries, and whipped cream. I don't need to write it down. He goes into the kitchen. His wife hears pots and pans banging all over the place. And the husband finally emerges from the kitchen and presents his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. She looks at the plate and asks, hey, where's the toast I asked for? Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you're able to go. All the commandments which I command thee, and verse number 8, and we'll read here and we're done. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Listen. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. God says he wants to bless you. He don't want you to be poor. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you things. And we all seem like it that we've been blessed here. But verse number two says, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord God led thee 40 years in the wilderness. Wait a minute. I don't think sometimes we read the Bible, we don't ever do this. Why didn't God just leave them in Egypt and just slew all the Egyptians and say, won't you guys just stay in Egypt and flourish and live a life of happiness so you don't have to go through 40 years of wilderness walking about and just trying to figure out what God's going to do? You know why? It says, why did he do that? Why did God do that? To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. We've eaten better food than our grandfathers, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You think to yourself, maybe I'm that person, and maybe you're not. So maybe what I have described about this thing in this verse, about forgetting, about remembering what God has done for you, maybe at this moment, everything is just going nice and easy. Thank you very much. Maybe you're having a little nice time of ease and prosperity. If that is you, then here's some Bible for you. from the same text in Deuteronomy chapter 8. But now we go down in verse number 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, we have eaten. We are blessed. God has blessed us. Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the land which thou hast given thee. Thank you, Lord, for the food that you have given me. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Beware, don't forget about God. And not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes. And I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein, lest that God has blessed you and given you our home. A home where the wife and the husband's together. A home where the kids are in a Christian school and you all love each other. A home where you're all saved. A home where you come to a good church. A home that God has given you, a home, a goodly home that you dwelt in. And when thy herds and the flocks multiply, your food stocks multiply, your cabinets get filled with food. And thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. Money's being put in your bank account. Your business is growing. You got a promotion. And all that thou hast is multiplied. Then, help us on this verse. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You will forget this who led thee through a great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there was no water. You forgot about those times that God has blessed you, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, when thy father knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do good at the latter end. And this is where my heart hurts. Because this is where I was. This is where I was for 10 years. This is where, as I was trying to build a career in my life, this is where I was. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and might and thy might of mine hand gotten me this wealth. I did it. It's my work efforts. It's my hard work. Me getting up in the morning and working hard. And this is why I got all the blessings from God. I forgot. But I'm not talking about you. Maybe you're a better Christian than I. For 10 years, I forgot. And let me tell you what happened. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Oh, man, as I forgot, I will remember. For it is given thee power and to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto the Father as it is this day. There was a day when a man, and you know him, his name is Doug Fisher. It was a midweek service just like this. I was sitting in the aisle, about right there where you're at. And he preached the message. He said, did you forget? Did you forget about it, how it was to get on a bus route and have tears flow down your eyes because you know that kid, what he's going through? Did you forget about waking up in the morning going soul winning? Did you forget about visiting people? Or did you just get everything and God has blessed you and you forgot? There was a time when you wanted to be a bus captain. There was a time you wanted to serve as a Sunday school teacher. There was a time you wanted to do more for God, but did you forget? And I remember sitting there going, I did. I remember God was speaking in my heart in January 2015 on a Wednesday night, a night just like this. And I remember I said, God, don't talk to me right now. This is not the time to talk to me, but what God said here is commanded. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. I will remember eventually. And I didn't want bad things to happen to my family so I can remember. So I stood up during an invitation. I came down right here, up there in Chico, California. And I got down and I said to God, God, here am I, Lord, send me. And you have to understand, but maybe your life wasn't good back then. If I couldn't have time and explain to you how my life was back then, you would trade it for what you have. I got to be around people, celebrities. I didn't have to pay rent. My rent was $0. But I said, God, I just want to do whatever you want me to do. At 32 years old, I wasn't 18. No one forced me to do it. So I started going soul winning again. I started going on a bus route again. And something happened in November of 2015, Pastor Myers. A church at Regency Baptist Church, who I don't even know. They're not my buddies. They're not my friends. They came to me, the pastor. Said, I've been watching you. How would you like to be on my pastoral staff? You have to understand. For 10 years, I didn't know if God was going to use me or not. And it was about that time that God said, I was waiting for you to say, hear my Lord, send me. I was waiting for you to remember me. I was waiting for you to understand that I'm still here for you to use you. Amen. And the book of Psalms, verse 92 says this, verse 10 and 12 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Amen. And they shall be fat and flourishing. Today I'm fat and flourishing. So the first thing is this. My blessings, they were filled. And then my blessings, it was forgotten. And now my blessings, they are flourishing. They are flourishing. I get to live a dream. I get to live a dream. You're like, no way. For 10 whole years, that wasn't a dream. That was just the next day I got to wake up and make another buck. I get to wake up and I get to say, I get to see someone saved. We get to see a bus route running 200 and getting four people saved. If that doesn't get you excited, somebody else better stir you up. And it's not me. I'm not going to stir you up. God's going to stir you up because it says here, beware. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beware that thou forgot the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes, which I command you this day, lest thou hast eaten and art full and hast built godly houses and dwelt in. And we go down. And what did he say? God says here that he might humble thee. Don't ever let God humble you. Come on. It's not a fun day. It's not a fun time when you understand that God has to humble you to get up on a Saturday to go do something in a bus ministry. These people here in my life, as I was blessed with these people, they gave up their life for me so I can be here today. They gave up their life a Saturday to come visit me. They gave up their life, money, time to come and make sure that I learned the truth of the Word of God. That I learn how to be married, right? I learn how to treat my wife, right? Learn how to raise my kids. Learn how to have a godly family. Learn how to preach. Learn how to sing. And learn how all these things. There are people that invested in me. Right. What have I done back? Am I doing anything? Or am I going to do this? Back to our text in Ezra. In Ezra, Israel, they were in captivity. They're in a foreign land. They didn't have their own land yet. Until God stirred up the heart of Cyrus, a pagan king, and his people, then everything changed. You want change? You have problems? Don't go to the pastor. Go on a bus ministry. Go on a bus route. I'll tell you what, you hop on a bus route and you see their lives, you say, I don't have any problems. That should give us a hope to our country and to our church. God does stir hearts still. Ezra teaches us, since he does, we should pray that he, God, would indeed stir our hearts today to get back into the bus ministry again and start seeing what God can do with you. Amen. I end with this story. There's a man, a couple of people actually. His name is Brother Ranabal. He died, 94 years old, I believe. 94 years old. I was up there in Chico and in Northern California. This man, I call him the legend. The legend. He sounds like this. Renavat, how you doing today? That's how he sounds like. He's 90-something years old. I call him the legend because I found out what he was all about. He drove a bus for 60 years. 60 years he drove a bus. His wife, little old 90-something-year-old wife, skinny, small, petite. She was a bus captain for 60 years on that bus. And I call him the legend. You're like, no way. Well, he's in heaven today. He's in heaven today. I could imagine how many crowns he have. I could imagine what God has done through his life and his family life. I want to encourage you. The bus ministry is something you can get back into. It's open doors. You see these young folks? You see George and these guys? They're too young for the bus ministry. Some of us might say, I used to do that. No. We don't need them. We need you older folks. We need the one you're bearing fruit at old age so you can be fat and flourishing. That's what we need. So how about it? How about you reach a vine? How about you go reach one? So that they can put a timeline together and say this, hey, brother so-and-so is in my timeline. Brother so-and-so is in my timeline. Mrs. so-and-so is in my timeline. How about we do that? So my encouragement to you tonight is this, is let's not forget. Let's remember what God has done for us and let's go do something. This Saturday we have a wedding, amen? Yeah. Amen? Man, we're going to be here. We'll cheer you on. But before the wedding, man, let's go out and go witness to some people. Let's go get some people. Let's go get these bus kids. Let's go get them on Sunday and let's greet them. Buy them candy. Man, we're always accepting candy. Buy candy. They love it. So my encouragement to you is this, is let's remember what God has done for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. I thank you for allowing us to be here. Oh God, this message is not to get on someone. This message